One year ago, this fantastic history committee decided they wanted a former pastor to deliver the sermon on the 150th celebration. I was so honored when they chose me. Later, it dawned on me, I'm the only living pastor there is. It is still an honor, Dr. Ed, thank you. Late one evening, there was a knock on the door of the pastor's study. When he got to the door, he opened it and discovered a young lady who had been obviously upset and crying. She said, I'm sorry to bother you, Pastor, but a few minutes ago I was standing on the bridge south of town over the river. And I had made so many mistakes in my life, I wanted to take my own life. I looked down into the raging waters of the river. And I looked back over the horizon of the town and I saw the steeple of your church. And I heard a voice inside that told me there's hope at the base of that steeple. Pastor, is there any hope for me? Well, that evening she found Jesus Christ and gave her life to him and found the hope and the joy and the peace that she was seeking. You see, God makes his presence known everywhere and at every time and in every situation. And so today we are here to celebrate the fact that God is present then, now, and not yet. And it's only if you see him, look for him, will you see him. Only when you listen to him will you hear him. Only when you're sensitive enough to the presence of his Holy Spirit will you find him. So we're here today to worship. We are here today to tell his story and our story. We're here to celebrate. But more than that, we had an appointment with God to be here to sense his presence in our lives. For God has always made his presence known. In the Old Testament time, in the biblical time, God made his presence known. To Abraham and Isaac, he was the ram that was caught in the bushes. To the children of Israel, he was Moses appearing in the burning bush. When they were going through the wilderness, he appeared as the manna to eat, the cloud in the sky by day, and the pillar of fire by night. God made his presence known with the Ark of the Covenant as it led his people into the Promised Land. The presence of God was known by his Shekinah glory in the temple in Jerusalem, planned by David and built by Solomon. God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember them when they refused to bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, the king. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, made 10 times hotter than it had ever been before. And the three of them went in, but lo and behold, there were four because the Son of Man, Jesus, was there with them. They didn't burn and they didn't even smell like smoke. You see, what matters is not how hot the fire is, but what matters is who's in the fire with you. God made his presence known then when he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, the ultimate picture of God, the ultimate way God could show his presence and his love for me and you. And he lived and died, and then he rose again. And Jesus then sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost for his presence to form the church, to make his presence known many thousands of years. God makes his presence known. And as he sends the church, he says, go into all the world and make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Hebrews 13:8, we read earlier, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation 11:17 says, he is the God who was and is and shall be forevermore. The year was 1872. The Civil War had divided the nation. A small town by the name of Roswell, Georgia, 25 miles north of that little city, Atlanta, was devastated. The mill, the factory where most of the residents worked, was burned to the ground by the Union soldiers because they were making Confederate uniforms. The people were making 25 cents a day. And a bag of 50 pounds of flour was 25 cents. 400 of the workers in the mill were arrested and charged with treason. They were sent by train, exiled to the north, never to return. Roswell, Georgia needed hope. They needed the hope that only Jesus Christ could give. So 16 Christians from Willio Baptist Church, the church on the west side of town, and 6 members from Lebanon, the church on the north side of town, saw that the people in South Roswell, near the factory, near the mill, needed hope, needed the presence of God, and so they formed a church in a small log schoolhouse, 22 members. In 3 years, then, they decided they needed a building, and so on South Atlanta Street, and property deeded by John Perryman, and he said, you can have the land, I'll deed the land to you, as long as no one practices foot washing Baptists. Well, there were controversies back then too, you see. And they never did, so the church grew to 135. They outgrew the old white clapboard building. They decided that they then needed to purchase or build a bigger place. And that caught us another issue for the people. Some of them said, let's go. Some of them said, let's stay. They were Baptists, you see. And so those who voted to stay were awarded the building, the property, the songbooks, the pews, and their letters of membership. Seems to me they got the better deal. Those who voted to move, the majority, moved to Main Street here to our, and they built our chapel. They bought the land for $1,000. And they built what we call now the Donahoe Chapel. Well, you see, they were, the pastor was Ralph Donahoe. And he was a circuit riding preacher. They had services once a month. Would you like that, Dr. Head? Elwin, you said we're here every week, didn't you? Okay. Once a month, he made $8.60. You and I were overpaid. He preached once a month. One Sunday, he was standing up preaching, and history records that Ethel, his wife, from the congregation said, Ralph, you preached that sermon here last time. He said, music director, sing another song. I got to change the sermon. And he did. And he led them beautifully, and they He, by the way, was a wonderful carpenter and built the pews for the new church. Those who moved got the church's charter, and they got the piano. He built the pews, sold them to the members for $5 a piece. And the rest, of course, is the history of his time with us. After they did all of that, Reverend Lee Bryce came in 1937. He was the one that said, we need to have church every week. And he became the first full-time pastor. He ministered to that congregation because his predecessor, Mercer Williams, 32-year-old pastor, the circuit pastor, coming to the church here in Roswell, drowned trying to cross Big Hog Creek at Christmas time. So Pastor Bice had to bring that congregation together. He's the one known for baptizing after revival 41 people in the baptistry up at Lebanon Baptist Church. The most people ever baptized at one time. Back then in 1949, Lewis Kennedy was the pastor, and their budget records that they spent $7,413 that whole year. Times have changed. See, throughout the years, God has made his presence known to Roswell through First Baptist Church of Roswell, giving salvation and hope, comfort and encouragement to a needy community. After World War II, Brantley Seymour began his 34-year people-centered ministry, bringing hope to Roswell through the Vietnam era, through the Korean time, through integration and many of the social changes of the 50s and 60s and 70s. Brantley Seymour brought the church from 483 members to 1,592. This sanctuary was erected in 1964-65. The Brantley Seymour Activity Building was added in 1974. The population of Roswell in 1970 was a whopping 10,000 people. By 1980, 48,000. I don't know how many of us there are now. There's a whole bunch of us now. God's love for all children became evident through 1965 when Norma Hawkins formed the kindergarten from First Baptist Church of Roswell. So today, we've gathered to be grateful recipients of the faithfulness, courage, sacrifice of the saints who have founded this church. There are so many laymen, I can't mention them all, but H.C. Farr, Elwin Gassert, Luke Bice, Thornton Wright, Gene Kimbrell, hundreds of more, and too many for me to name. Miss Annie Cook, the first woman teacher of men. Hilda Moore, our first church secretary. Bo Bice, our first female deacon. Sue Wright, our first librarian. Elnora Seymour, pastor's wife for so many years. All of those before us built, gave, sacrificed for those of us who were yet to come. They didn't know our names. They didn't know what we were going to look like. They didn't know how we were going to act. But they knew if they stayed faithful to God that you and I'd be here in the hope and grace of Jesus Christ. Mark Battinger said, gratitude is thanking God after he has done it. Faith is thanking God before he does it. So today we are grateful and we have faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. seeing that we are surrounded with all those great witnesses, let us lay aside all those things that tempt us and take us away. And let us look before us to run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy of the cross endured the cross, despising the shame, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. He is the God of then, he is the God of yesterday, he is the God of now, and he's the God of today. He's making his presence known now to Roswell through all of us. Continues through First Baptist Church of Roswell to work out his will and purpose through us. It has been said, the essence of the Christian life is to live in the awareness of God's presence in all things, under his authority and giving him the glory. Living in the presence, knowing the presence of God. A.W. Tozer said, anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done with anyone, he can do with us. Boy, that's a great place for an amen, somebody. We are sending missionaries to Africa, to Alaska, to Appalachia. We are proclaiming the saving presence of God there because he is present here. When we pack shoeboxes and provide food and clothing, we do it to the least of these. We do it for Jesus. When we teach Sunday school, work in Vacation Bible School, serve as a deacon or WMU, drive the bus, lead in SALT activities, we're shouting, Jesus cares and Jesus is here. Roswell still needs to hear, Jesus saves. Amen. Jesus saves, and he is present here now. And they're watching and listening for that witness from us. God's presence now in our lifetimes, regardless of age or ethnicity, race or social status, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me to First Baptist Church, Roswell. We say, join us and follow him, not as judges, but witnesses. We're not the prosecuting attorneys. We are the accepting family members who welcome the lost home. We bring light to shine in the world's darkness now. Hope to the despairing, joy to the despondent, understanding to the confused, meaning to the lost. You see, we're trying to live as though Jesus was crucified yesterday, as though Jesus were raised from the dead today, and as if Jesus is coming back again tomorrow. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the courage to stand. And as despairing and cynical as some might be over the institutional church's future, the reports of the church's death, the institutional church's death, are exaggerated. We are here now. And we are proclaiming Jesus is present here to save. Today, we proclaim that. We have to remind ourselves that the church was Jesus's idea, not ours. We're going to make some mistakes, but Jesus will overcome them. Whatever cultural trends happen around us, we proclaim the obstacles will not daunt us, The delays will not depress us. Discouragement will never take our hope away, because Jesus is present in our world today. In the city of London, at one of the major intersections, there is a marble monument called the Charing Cross. From that intersection, all distances are measured from London. And it was so popular and so well known, they just called it the cross. Well, one day a little boy got lost in the bustle of the city of London and didn't know where to go. A bobby found him, and the policeman asked him all kinds of questions to no avail. He couldn't find out his name. He couldn't find out where his parents were. He didn't know anything to help them, but he just wept huge tears. Finally, after minutes, the little boy said, "Bobby, if you can get me to the cross, I can find my way home." You see, there's a cross on top of the steeple for a reason, for a purpose. We're here, the presence of Jesus now, to say, we'll take you to the cross and you can find your way home. Wow. And then we know God made his presence known then through First Baptist Roswell. God has made his presence known now through First Baptist Roswell. And lastly, he's going to make his presence known tomorrow. He was and is to come. You see, our God is not a God of just then and now, but he's the God of not yet. See, Abraham had the theology of not yet. Remember, he took God, he believed in God, he believed God's promises. God said, "Abraham, you and Sarah, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. I know you're 100 years old, but you're going to have a child." And Abraham and Sarah, they didn't know what to think about that. And after 100 years, you would think, what in the world? But Abraham believed God's promises. He believed that he was going to be the father of a great nation. When? Not yet. We are living in a world that we can look out and say it is so terrible, but you and I have to say this is not the way God means for the world to be. It is not yet what God wants it to be. And God has a plan. And one day he's going to make the world what he means for it to be. And I don't know what your situation is in right now. I don't know what tragedies you've been through. I don't know where you're hurting. But I know this, that you need to claim that faith. We have a theology of not yet. I may be hurting now. I may not know what to do now. I just don't know yet, because I believe in a God who was and is, but who is not yet. Mark Battinger said that of the 35 miracles we have recorded in the scriptures, his favorite one was the one of catching of the fish. He said the disciples had been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus called out to them and said, "Hey, men, put your net out on the other side of the boat." They didn't know about that. Jesus wasn't a fisherman, but they said they would believe him. But now, you must understand that the boats then, the fishing boats, were about 6 feet wide, okay? About 72 inches wide. And so Jesus said, "Put your net out on the other side of the boat." And so the disciples, believing Jesus, put their net out on the other side of the boat, and there were so many fish caught, they couldn't even haul in the nets. You see, God is a God of not yet. Maybe your miracle is only 72 inches away. God is the God of not yet. Don't give up. It may just be 72 inches away. The church of tomorrow will be determined by the church that we are today. In the Broadway musical Hamilton, there's a line, "What is a legacy? It's planting seeds in a garden that you will never see." We are here today because of the not yet God who's going to bring other people here. We don't know them. We don't see them. We don't know how they're going to act. We don't know what they look like, but they're going to be here because you and I were faithful here. You see, when people come to this church in driverless cars, we'll still need the protection of Jesus. When there is a cure for cancer, we will still need the healing of Jesus Christ. When our money is all paperless currency, we will still need Jesus to say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this other will be added unto you." When people are living to 150 years old, yikes, we will still need the assurance that there's life everlasting in Jesus Christ. When people are vacationing 25 weeks a year, we will still need Jesus to say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." When Jesus comes the second time, First Baptist Church will still be here at 710 Mimosa, sharing the hope and the joy and the grace of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that you and I can be a part of something that's bigger than us? That God means for your and my lifetime to go on longer than our lifespan. It will outlast us. First Baptist Church has been and is and ever shall be the presence of God, Jesus Christ, in this town and in this world, proclaiming the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Back in 1960, times were hectic, as many of us in here experienced. Bill and Gloria Gaither were expecting their first child. Bill had a terrible illness and nearly died. Gloria's family was under persecution because of their hymns and the songs they were writing. They began to wonder if this world was any place to bring a new baby. They were facing the new year. Gloria was sitting there by herself contemplating, what kind of world is it to bring a new baby in? And in those quiet, sad moments, the Lord spoke to her, and he said, "God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." Let's pray. Oh God, you've been our help in ages past. You alone are our hope for years to come. You are our shelter from the stormy blast today, and you will be our eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen.